Oh my God, it was wild. So first the boat exploded, then the fireworks went off for about like 10 minutes. They had ammunition on board, so it was probably a combo of fireworks and ammunition because you could smell it. And then the whole boat caught flames.
Why were there fireworks and ammo on a yacht at the marina? It's September 19th. This is the LA Local, sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm Alex Silverman. Also coming up, imagine having your power cut off and then getting a bill from the electric company.
It was an unacceptable mistake.
You can get your driver's license in your Apple wallet now, but wait.
The state mobile driver's license does not replace your physical one.
Huh? And people love to talk about how they love Burbank Airport, but a survey shows there's one area that really needs improvement.
They really, really underdeveloped in that area. They're actually dead last in the category.
All coming up. But first, this. Hey, if you're listening to this in an article on KNXnews.com, go right now to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, search for the LA Local, hit follow, and you'll get an update every weekday afternoon on everything you need to know that's happening in Southern California, and the morning and evening updates, too, from our colleagues at KNX News.
They were two good explosions. And it was scary. It was scary.
If you haven't seen the pictures of this yacht burning and sinking at Marina Del Rey, you got to go to KNXnews.com. It's pretty crazy. And the question now is, why were there fireworks and ammo on board that exploded? We haven't gotten a good answer on that yet as these crews try and soak up all the thousands of gallons of diesel that spilled into the marina after this yacht caught fire and sank. Our John Baird was out there talking to Natalie Ferguson, who lives nearby.
What the fire was like? What
oh, my God, it was wild. So we were actually on a balcony when it exploded. So first the boat exploded, then the fireworks went off for about like 10 minutes. They had ammunition on board, so it was probably a combo of fireworks and ammunition because you could smell it. And then the whole boat caught flames. And it went on for probably about 3 hours before it finally sunk into the marina.
Pretty intense.
We got it all on video. It was hot. You couldn't come anywhere near over here. I had my car parked right here, and I just moved it this morning. I was concerned about damage, but they had everyone backed up. Everyone had to get off the docks. They were concerned that it was going to completely go up.
Did you see fireworks?
We saw the fireworks from over here. We didn't get a video of it because we were all coming this way, but we got a video of everything else after it.
Are you convinced that there were bullets?
Oh, there was absolutely ammunition. We know who owns the boat.
Right, but are you convinced that what you were hearing was ammunition?
It could have been between fireworks, and it would have been impossible to. But my husband, who is a Marine, could smell the gunpowder, and since he's been deployed, he knows exactly what that smell smells like. So he was like, "Oh, we need to back up and get out of here because we don't know what's going to happen."
Yeah, several people told us they thought bullets were flying during this. According to LA County Fire, the flames did not trigger the ammunition to go off, but they said fireworks were going off. It is illegal to have fireworks on boats in unincorporated L.A. County waters. That includes Marina Del Rey. So a lot to find out in this investigation, namely what this person was doing with all that ammo and all those fireworks on the yacht. We'll stay on it. Another story we're staying on is the saga in Rancho Palos Verdes, with people having their utilities cut off, their homes becoming unlivable because of the landslides. Well, some of those people who lost power have still gotten electricity bills. Imagine that, having your power shut off and then all of a sudden you get billed for it. Emily Valdez is looking into this, and she got an apology out of the power company.
Southern California Edison cut off power to more than 200 homes on the Palos Verdes Peninsula because of the slow-moving landslides, yet some people say they're still being billed, the utility using an average of their power consumption. Reggie Kumar is a spokesperson for SCE.
Those customers should not have received bills. We realize they have been through a lot. It was an unacceptable mistake. We're sorry, and we will make it right.
However, Kumar would not elaborate on exactly how this will happen.
A really bad situation for a lot of people out there, and we'll continue to report on it. There was a pilot going for a while where some people could get a mobile California driver's licenses on their phones. Well, now it's available to everyone, but there is a catch.
The state mobile driver's license does not replace your physical one.
So much for not carrying it to the bar. So where can you use it, Karen Adams?
but you can use it to get through TSA security, like here at LAX.
And I proceed to go and tap the TSA gate. And at this point in time, you can see the information that's being requested by the TSA. Things that include my name, my birthday, real ID status. And if I'm comfortable ready to share, I double click, and this information is sent securely to the TSA reader. Officer checks my photo, and the information, we're good to go.
That's an Apple rep showing how easy it is to use. And the DMV Serenity Thompson says your information is secure on your smartphone or watch.
It is encrypted and requires biometric authentication for use. So if you lose it, you can just control access from other points.
You can also use your MDL at some stores. To get the free California DMV wallet ID, download it from the Apple App Store or Google Play.
Yeah, so a lot of businesses aren't required to accept it now. That's why you still have to carry the physical one. That runs through the pilot program, which goes until 2026. So this may not be fully usable like your regular ID until then, unless they change something. States blocked insurance companies from dropping coverage for hundreds of thousands of people who were affected by the wildfires recently, at least for a year. The insurance commissioner announced that today, mandatory for insurance companies, which are also barred from refusing to renew coverage for people impacted by these three big fires in our area. The Airport Bridge Line fires have burned more than 100,000 acres. That's more than 150 square miles. These fires are about half contained now. All three of them are pretty much the same status. Will state lawmakers do something about spikes in gas prices? Well, there's a special session happening now in Sacramento called by the governor, who's demanding a new law to force oil companies to keep supplies in reserve to try and avoid wild swings in price. We've seen prices go past $6 a gallon before they come down again, trying to avoid that. Strongly backed by the state's gas price watchdog, Ty Milder, who was appointed last year, he says it's not about punishing oil companies.
Industry needs to make profit. And I think it's important for us to understand that the profit motive needs to be there, but that the profits we have seen over the last few years with these price spikes are not normal. And so we have to design a program that allows for profit, but also takes planning for the state into consideration.
Says this is not a totally new thing. Countries like Australia and Germany have done it.
There is real urgency. Getting more analysis now is important. But in order to have these policies implemented by next summer, the process needs to start now.
As you might guess, the oil industry says this is an unwarranted interference in the free market. A first-of-its-kind ruling.
This judgment will be a permanent hemorrhoid.
Next. A bankruptcy judge has ordered a convicted fentanyl dealer to pay almost $6 million to the family of a young woman who died after taking a fentanyl-laced pill. It's a first-of-its-kind decision, and Emily Valdez has that.
Alexandra Capelluto was 20 years old when she ordered a pill she thought was a Percocet off Snapchat. She took half of it, died. It was laced with fentanyl. The dealer sentenced to 9 years in federal prison. Then he filed bankruptcy to avoid any civil suit. Capelluto family attorney Baruch Cohen.
This is a landmark decision because it's the first time there's a bankruptcy judgment, a civil judgment, punishing a criminal drug dealer.
Is this a usual tactic for them to get out of any civil suits to file bankruptcy?
I don't know about regular drug dealers, but it is a typical tactic that when faced with
a bankruptcy judge has ordered a convicted fentanyl dealer to pay almost $6 million to the family of a young woman who died after taking a fentanyl-laced pill. It's a first-of-its-kind decision, and Emily Valdez has that.
Alexandra Capelluto was 20 years old when she ordered a pill she thought was a Percocet off Snapchat. She took half of it, died. It was laced with fentanyl. The dealer sentenced to 9 years in federal prison. Then he filed bankruptcy to avoid any civil suit. Capelluto family attorney Baruch Cohen.
This is a landmark decision because it's the first time there's a bankruptcy judgment, a civil judgment, punishing a criminal drug dealer.
Is this a usual tactic for them to get out of any civil suits to file bankruptcy?
I don't know about regular drug dealers, but it is a typical tactic that when faced with a big judgment, to attempt to seek sanctuary in bankruptcy to hopefully discharge it.
And how will this follow him around after he gets out of prison in, say, 7-8 years?
Forever. If he buys property, we'll have a lien on it. If he gets employed, we'll garnish his wages. This judgment will be a permanent hemorrhoid.
Life sentence, life financial sentence.
Correct, correct.
And Alexandra's law, which calls for a harsher punishment for fentanyl dealers, will be on the ballot in November as part of Prop 36, which increases a lot of criminal penalties. Some good news for some SoCal airports in the J.D. Power rankings of the best airports in the U.S. and Canada. John Wayne Airport in Orange County is the number one large airport in the country. That large category goes up to about 30-some million passengers a year. In the mega category, LAX is number 12 out of about 20 or so. Ontario Airport is fourth for medium airports. Burbank close behind at 13th. You might ask, a lot of people talk about how much they love going to Burbank Airport. Why is it behind Ontario by so much? We talked with Michael Taylor, Travel Hospitality Director at J.D. Power. He talked about that.
Highly trusted airport. People think it's an easy airport to navigate. You know, its access scores are very good at Ontario. So that's their major positives in there. In fact, they're number one, actually, in the category for level of trust with the airport. So that's a fantastic asset to have. The biggest issue at Burbank is really a lack of food, beverage, and retail. They really, really underdeveloped in that area. They're actually dead last in the category. Other than that, they have some fairly good scores.
Yeah, well, that may change when they rebuild a terminal at Burbank, which is happening in the next couple of years. This study was based on 26,000 surveys. You might ask which airport was number one in that mega airport category. Minneapolis-St. Paul International. The report also says 60% of travelers actually enjoy their time at airports. 59% say their airport helps reduce travel stress. Huh. That's the LA Local for 9/19. September 19th, we're sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. See the inventory, all 14 dealerships at lacarguy.com. 97.1 FM, ask your smart speaker to play KNX News. Get the Odyssey app, search for KNX, follow us there. And follow the LA Local on Odyssey or wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, we're on them all. We're back tomorrow. I'm Alex Silverman. See ya.